Booyah! And it's time for the Game Sports Podcast. This is your host, David McKaig Jr. The Game is powered by 91 Network and featured on Spaces. 91N is a YouTube channel where you can check out video editions of the game. Spaces is through Village Media and Sue Today. Head on to Spaces today to check out the space that you want to check out and belong to. The game is featured on the sports and hockey space of Spaces. Oh, very simple agenda for everyone today. This segment of the Game Sports Podcast is invaded by the ice. And no, not just the winter weather that we faced here in Canada. It is hockey. And on the first segment, you're going to have Brendan join me momentarily with our top shelf segment. And then in our second segment, we have Jordan Trudeau coming on for some Chuck a Puck action, touching on Major Junior in particular with some local love for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds before we wrap up. No baseball news. Yes, I know spring training started. No basketball news. Not looking at any other sports today. We just have time for hockey. So for any other sports, we will touch on that next week. You can check out the Game Sports Podcast, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all audio platforms, Spotify, the list goes on. It's at the Game Sports Podcast. And let me tell you, we're loving the interaction online now. Everyone's loving our recent TikToks, and we love the comments, we love the feedback, and we absolutely love the follows. It definitely motivates us even more each week to do this, knowing that everyone is enjoying the contents that we are putting out, and we are going to be sure you're going to love what we're talking about today. Now, without further ado, last little shout out, I want to give a special shout out to a happy belated birthday to one of my close friends, Anthony Greco, and friend and follower of the show, of course, comes with being friends, okay? Now, Brendan, let's bring you in, my friend. Top shelf. We're gonna shoot the puck right away. We won the draw. We dumped it in. We're dumping and chasing, and we're talking National Hockey League, kind of level hockey per se, but the Olympics is what we're gonna be talking about as we get ready for the NHL to resume. How you doing, my friend?
I'm great, man. I just gotta say that if I ever lose a big game in whatever sport I'm playing, I just wanna receive a doll, because that's going to make everything so much better.
McKinney reacted. Tell me about it.
So this is what pisses me off. The biggest thing here is you're going to waste time handing out dolls after handing out silver medals to the loser, and you don't use that time to do Stanley Cup playoff hockey overtime style. That is just baloney to me. I don't know what you think, Dave, but I'm sitting there. I had to turn off TV. It's hard enough to say, here's your participation trophy, because that's what it is for Canada. It's gold or bust. And then you get this doll, and you just alluded to it. McKinnon's reaction, it's as if someone just shat in his scrambled eggs. Honestly, it was so cringeworthy, I got to say. And you just think that time would be perfectly allotted to, you know, even 4v4. That's how it was in 2010, right? In overtime. And people will say, oh, Canada, you weren't, or Canadian fans, you weren't complaining when Marner scored a dandy in the 3-on-3 quarterfinal against Czechia. I'm like, this is for gold. This is for the gold medal game. And you're going to decide it via 3-on-3 skills competition. Might as well be the All-Star weekend again. So that's just utter lunacy. That's all I'll say.
I'm a firm believer of this deciding game. The game should remain what the normal amounts of players, if you're on the ice, field, courts, wherever you're looking, that's what should remain. Someone told me that may or not be close to Olympic sports said that the Olympics runs on time. Openings, the runs on strict times. Despite hockey being the last event, closing ceremonies at 2, people have to prep to be there. But look, yes, I will say it. I'm not using it as an excuse. I want everyone to know that in the United States that are waiting for these Canadian podcasts to come out and to comment and just roast. Let me tell you something, though. You got your own problems in your backyard. That's the only thing I'll say, maybe. So maybe stick over on that side. But nonetheless, I know we got a lot of followers on this show that are American, so I feel comfortable saying that the show was dual with Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and Sault, Ontario. So I'm just going to say that. I say that comfortably. Don't be chirping, Canadians. We're not making excuses. The point is, yes, it should have been 5-on-5 in a deciding game. I will 100% agree to that. Does it change the outcome? No. Am I making an excuse? No. But I definitely think that was an opportunity that was missed that could have made that a little bit more of a stronger victory for either side, Brett.
100%, man. 100,000%. And it was such a good game, too. Start to finish. What a memory getting up 7:30, people heading to bars, you know, drinking beer, almost like it was a university feel again for some people. I'm sure like a St. Paddy's Day vibe where you just start drinking in the morning. And
that's exactly what I was just thinking.
Right?
That's exactly what I was just about to say.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought getting up. It was awesome. It was still a late night Saturday. I had to take a nap later in the day, but I was fired up in the morning and just a great hockey game. And it just really sucks how it has to end with a skills competition.
And you know what? What I'll say is I'm really torn because I always say good teams find ways to win. That's the analogy I always use. Okay. But I also err on the other side where it's from a statistics perspective. I know Evan would like this. Canada wins that game over 90% of the time, if you're a stats. But on the other side that I'm really facing is I will say the better team did not win that hockey game. Doesn't change the outcome. The USA is still gold medalist. And congratulations to the United States. They won that game. You could say fair and square, despite too many men on the ice being missed. That seemed to be a common trend in the tournament. Like I said, no excuses are going to be said here because that's the human element of the game. You can't rewrite that. When it's missed, it's missed. Congratulations to the States. I'll be the first one to say it. It was one of the best hockey games that I've watched in a long time. I remember Salt Lake City. I remember Vancouver 2010 was just like some of this Olympic action we've been getting. We've been spoiled. And so congratulations to the States. That's the third time I'm saying it, okay? I'll try not to say it anymore. So I will stress, though, the better team did not win this hockey game, okay? And that is meant from the heart. When you outplay a team from not the first. It was kind of even that first, right? Second period onward, Canada was just dominant. But you know who matched the task? Connor Hellebuyck. And he's a player on that ice, just like everyone else. And he stepped up. But the main thing, and I wanted to highlight this. I had these as notes, and it was very important for me that I mentioned these. So you got Canada right now who didn't score on four key moments. That's a three. Four key moments. A McDavid breakaway, Celebrini breakaway, Taze open net, McKinnon open net. I bet you McKinnon doesn't miss that ever again. And it's hard to win a game without killer instinct. Okay,
You're missing one. Can I interrupt? You're missing Tom Wilson in front of the net.
Tom Wilson missing one. Celebrini shot too early. McDavid overthought. What was McCarr doing in overtime? Taves just needs to bury. Look, there's a lot of things you could say that would have, could have, what should have happened. The States had some good chances too. Binner played extremely well. But in summary, the better team did not win, but good teams find ways to win. And that's the way it goes. And I know that's a lame way to put it. It's hard to swallow when you lose 3-on-3 in a gold medal game. But you can say back in 2010, losing 4-on-4 is the same. 5-on-5, if we would have lost, it still would have been the same. At the end of the day, Canada lost, and it was a fantastic hockey game.
It was a fantastic hockey game. I want to ask you this, because I was thinking about McDavid and Matthews and their legacy going into the Olympics and completing the Olympics and where they are and what their status is after the Olympics. So with this United States victory, is what outweighs the other? Like what's the bigger story, that McDavid loses again, or the narrative perhaps changes for Matthews that he's a winner and he can actually guide a team to a championship?
That's such a good question. Guide as a captain, he was credited for his leadership by, I believe, the Hughes brothers were the ones that had that quote. When I think of that game that led them to that gold medal, it was the guy in between the pipes. That was their guy, their soldier that led them there. But Matthews was a part of that. They won the gold medal. I mean, look at McDavid, game 7 twice, no points. Gold medal game, no points. But player of the tournament, right? He also won the Conn Smythe, not last year, the year prior. Sam Bennett won last year. The conversation that somebody that we both know, his name is Alex Parr, said, can we start talking about how McDavid can't win the big game? And my first thought was Four Nations, right? He got the winning goal. Mitch Marner made a nice pass in front. So it's hard to say that he doesn't step up because I don't weigh the loss on Connor McDavid. I mentioned that point about Matthews not being the main factor, but he captained that team. And the captain is looked at from a highlight perspective of when success occurs. McDavid, how his performance was in the finals. Sorry, the finals and the gold medal. This is the legacy that was cemented, shows that Matthews got a taste of winning and that he could help guide and lead a team. like you said. McDavid, on the other hand, is somebody who has been to the dances and has been unable to walk away as the prom king, if you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's been unable to walk with the prom king, so it's hard to answer that, but it definitely puts a step forward. Not Matthews on McDavid. McDavid is the best player in the world. But Matthews having that gold medal, I would say, is more impressive than being a Four Nations champion.
Absolutely. The Olympics is the war. Four Nations was a battle. This time last year, it was all we had, right? We said, fit to the All-Star weekend. We got, you know, nation versus nation. This is it right now. But then the Olympics comes, and anyone who uses Four Nations, well, he has Four Nations. No. I don't even think he's kept that MVP trophy or whatever you got. A doll? I don't know. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it does. But to answer your question, the legacy piece, man, it's hard to say because of it being different on different stages. Stanley Cup final and Olympics and the way the teams have been so different. I still place McDavid ahead from a legacy perspective based on how far he's went. But Matthews has the gold medal.
He ultimately does. He ultimately has that. And until 2030, Matthews says, ha ha, to McDavid, right? Going into the Olympics, I said the pressure is on McDavid more because he's reached Stanley Cup final, obviously, but like going in, it's like he is not even the same stratosphere as Matthews, right? And the heights, that's what I was trying to say, the heights he's reached already versus Matthews was, okay, I've been to back-to-back cup finals, I've lost, but you know, I've willed my team, I'm the better captain. It just hasn't gone my way. This is it. Whereas Matthews, you can make the argument of, hey, if he loses, people will say, well, of course. I mean, same situation in Toronto. And McDavid's a king. And if he wins, then the narrative is, oh, well, you know what? It's easy when he gets to play with a bunch of studs and he just blended into that tournament. But if you want to do glass half full, you hope Matthews is feeling like, you know, a dump truck has been lifted off his shoulders and he can, you know, maybe bring that to Toronto and have a little bit more mojo. And again, that might be glass half full, but for McDavid, I think this will haunt him for a while because you mentioned the amount of teams he's, you know, willed to the top and he ends up winning a individual prize, but not the team prize. He did it in Erie as well, right? Didn't he win MVP for Erie in a losing effort with the team? It's really, really frustrating. I feel for 97. 2024, I think, was the year when they came back from a 3-0 hole. And now, Dave, it's like there's no guarantees going back. You know how hard it is? And they're running out of gas, no doubt, because it's a lot of hockey. A lot of these guys who are going back to the playoffs, they won't have a breather now. And that were in the Olympics, they won't have a breather now till July, right?
Yep.
So you got to think that, you know, the wheels slow down a bit.
It's hard because I will say, and Wayne Gretzky might have something to say about this, perhaps a bit, but it's hard to argue it. Sidney Crosby is arguably the best Canadian NHL Olympic athlete because of what he's won. Olympic hockey athlete. Let me emphasize, obviously, there's a lot of athleticism going around in Canada for sports, okay? But Canada, okay, that's where my heart goes to. And Sidney Crosby wasn't in the lineup. Does he make a difference? Absolutely.
Absolutely, man.
Make a difference in a positive negative? We don't know. Does he give the puck away in the neutral zone? It causes a breakaway? Or is he out there in that last, in that three-on-three setting up McDavid or setting up Marner again or whatever? Is it a different magic? It absolutely is. Okay, but you can say, oh, what if Josh Morrissey played? Or you can say, what if, I believe it was Quinn Hughes that was out in the Four Nations, if I remember correctly. So like you can go back all this what if, could have. You can't use excuses. And for the Canadians that are using excuses about ways that they lost, I know it sucks. We got to stop that. We lost the game. We can have our opinions on what could be better, but to make excuses, the team didn't win the game, and there was a lot of opportunity where they had the chances to win, and they didn't. It sucks that 87
and that's the counter. That's the counter. If you're an American fan, you say, okay, you had a lot of chances. Well, you didn't ultimately convert. Oh.
Hey,
if you want to piss and moan about it, then.
I almost won the lottery, Brendan. I was three numbers off, and I won $100. But hey, I was close. I've played hockey. You know, I had that breakaway. I hit the post. I was close. I was close.
You were there.
Scored. They went the other way and scored and won the game, and we lost the junior championship. Like at the end of the day, not a full true story. But that's the point. It doesn't matter. It's not the result.
And here's the other thing. Four Nations, the U.S. dominated us, especially in overtime. Matthews had two big chances. Tkachuk on the doorstep. Binnington played out of his mind. So the deserved the win meter in the Four Nations, you could argue, goes to the U.S. and Canada comes out on top. And then for the Olympics, it's flipped. So yeah. That's hockey, man. Shout out to Gina Retta. That's hockey right there.
So I know you wanted to touch on, I want to give you the last reaction before we kind of, before we wrap Top Shelf. But I do want to say something. I told you, and I've said this on the show, so I'm going to tippy toe on this, sort of. We're not a political show. We're a sports show. Despite even that, some sports shows like to dive into politics. But obviously, there's a hot topic going on out there with somebody who's the president of the United States. I don't even want to say his name. So you can obviously see how my opinion is about that person. And he made a phone call to the United States men's team when they won the gold medal. Rightfully so. I'm sure Carney would have called us or vice anywhere, right? That's normal. His comments were not normal nor appropriate. Mentioning that that he's going to invite the team to the White House and that, he had or has to invite the women's team, of course. I don't have the exact quote, but I'm not even pull it up to discuss it, look at it, but you pick it up what I'm putting down.
He said, I remember, he said, and I won't say his name, he said he would be impeached if he didn't invite the women's team, causing a snarky laugh from the men's American team.
Yeah, a lot of laughs from the American team. And the girls' team, you can look at the John Travolta meme. They were nowhere to be found at the White House. But you know who was there? The American men's team. And they were getting questioned about it and people trying to dodge the question. Hughes's interview, you could tell he was really tippy-toeing. He was really nervous to answer and Tkachuk was pulling him away, laughing in the background. Anyone who was laughing in the background, you could say, your friends are in the village or whatever it is. The men's hockey team should be ashamed of themselves. Everyone that was laughing, it's a very sensitive topic. So I'm not diving into that, but I'm going to tell you the world is at a very unique spot. Look what's going around in it. And I say unique very lightly. And of course, the person at the front is that guy who is that person in the United States. And I would have loved if there was a few players that stood their ground and didn't go. I think Rock Nielsen, as you said, was one. There was a few others.
Gensel.
There's a few that didn't go. And I commend them for that. I love the American women for not going. I think USA Hockey has to get something going with this. Something has to be said. Something has to be shared. And something has to be taken a stand of, because those comments, yeah, obviously nobody's going to fight him because everyone's scared of him to fight back. But something needs to be educated to the men's hockey team in the United States that comment wasn't funny. Okay. And don't be afraid to stand your ground and not go. Just saying.
How refreshing. That's perfectly said, Dave. How refreshing would it be if Matthew, we were talking about this before we started recording, if he said, I'm not going. I'm going right to Tampa. Thanks, guys. It's been fun in Miami. I'm close enough to Tampa. I'm just going to hop on a bird and head to Tampa and be with the guys. It's been a while.
I'd kiss his
toes. He's got the power. He's the captain. You know what? I think a lot of other guys would have been like, yeah, you're right. You're captain of the American team. Captain America, Austin Matthews, and you're playing for a Canadian club in Toronto. I think people would have bowed down and would have been super super impressed, and I think a lot of respect would go his way. Now they're home. Funnily enough, he has to play Brady on Saturday in Toronto. Do you think he gets booed?
I'll say no. No, I think Brady's the only one that gets booed. There's something.
I think Matthews might hear some boos.
I wouldn't be
surprised, man.
Hey, no, but I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm not surprised Brady Tkachuk was at the forefront of that laughter, okay? A captain of a Canadian hockey team, too, to boot. And I can go on with this. It was disgusting what he said from the leader. You're a big leader across the border. And the reaction from the men's team was unreal in terms of a bad way. And it's good for the women not showing up. Good for the people in the comments that are like, this is outrageous. Shame on the people who comment the negative just to get a reaction. And for those who didn't go on the United States team, good on you, the men's team. And the ones that did, I think You really got to evaluate. But listen, a political, I'm not going to get into the political standpoint, just how this whole situation in general paid out is really takes away from your win, a win that took 46 years for you guys in the America to achieve. And no one's even talking about the win anymore. They're talking about something else.
Well, let's wrap Top Shelf on a high and focus on the women's American team.
Yep.
Play of the Olympics. Megan Keller, golden goal. Not enough people are talking about it. She walked that defenseman and buried for the golden goal. Unbelievable goal. I know it was against Poulin and the Canadians and we're Canadian fans, but unbelievable goal by Megan Keller. That's the play of the Olympics for me. Soundbite of the Olympics, Dave. Fortunately, it is coming from Matthew Tkachuk, but it's to Leon Draisaitl. You kind of alluded to Prom King reference, so I'll play off of that. He said, always the bridesmaid, Leon, never the bride.
Yikes.
Yikes. Blooper of the Olympics, the buddy admitting to the world he cheated on his girlfriend after winning a medal. That's just...
No, I forgot anyway. About 3 months ago he said he cheated on his wife. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was... Wow. Ended. Then surprising moment of the Olympics, I'll go with Mark Kennedy, your boy, telling Sweden to F off for supposedly cheating. And then Brad Jacobs, also your boy from the Sioux, they end up winning gold.
That's right. Thank you for saying that. Thumbs up. Friend of the show, friend of mine, Brad, and the whole team, Jacobs.
Gotta have him back on, Dave.
That's in the works. It's in the works. Okay. And Mark Kennedy did not cheat, but you know what I will say? The memes are... I'll give credit to some of the memes. Good job. There's not memes related to cheating, just kind of a lot of little memes. Okay, led for a good meme, but the whole overall story... Besides the comedic value of the memes, attaboy, Mark. You tell him how it's done because there was none of that going around.
That's, can we get Mark on too? Let's get Mark on.
Whole team. We want the whole team.
Whole team. Let's just do an eight-person podcast.
I've had Brad on 6 times on this show. I told him I'm getting sick of just him. I need the squad. It isn't just... I know it's called Teams Jacobs, okay? But it's a crew, okay? It's a crew, and they're a good crew. And they win the gold, and they get to bring it back to Sault Ste. Marie. And you know what? My wife and I put on that medal multiple times when he won it in Sochi. But I told him, because the funny story, and I know we're waiting for Trudeau to come on, but I got to say this story. My wife, we were at Brad Jacobs's house for a gathering and having a gathering per se. And my wife jumps up and remembering that he has the medal at home and asks him if she can put on the medal. We go up to the lion's den. Sorry, Brad. That's, I know it's what you called that room, was the lion's den. Opens up a drawer and there it is. There's the gold medal and Hannah put it on the Sochi one. But now we get to put on a 2026 Italy gold medal and we're very much excited to do that. So thanks for that shout out for Brad and very excited to have him on in the future, Brennan, to chat a little bit about that victory and how he didn't cheat. Unbelievable.
Can't wait to chat with him, man.
Good way to end that on a high, Brennan. Okay, so... Brennan, any final thoughts? I know the NHL is just around the corner. Season's resuming. What are we looking at right out of the gate? What's your hot take going into the back half of the season now? I guess you can call this the second half per se, a bit over that. But what's your hot take? Putting you on the spot. You got a hot take?
Hot take. Jeez.
Matthews maybe getting booed on Saturday.
Is that a hot take? I think that's going to happen, man. I think that's definitely going to happen.
Want a hot take? I'll give you one.
Okay.
I'll say Jordan Binnington getting traded to the Edmonton Oilers. That's my hot take. That's my hot take. I'm not saying the Oilers are going to win or do anything, but I got a random hot take. It's Binnington. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't think they should. The Leafs squeak in to the playoffs. They find it happens. To much of the dismay of Leaf fans, those are my hot takes. Because, you know, I wouldn't mind a little surgery to Matthews and Nylander, a little relaxation, getting the first overall pick in drafting the knockout king Gavin McKenna to come join the team. Would love that. But my hot take is Binnington getting traded and the Leafs squeaking into the playoffs. And I'm not saying how far they're going to make it, because we all know if they do how far they're going to make
hot it. Hot take, Leafs trade Matthews before the deadline.
Because he gets booed this weekend? that's wild. I like
might be a scorching hot take, but
if you've heard
Trudeau is about to enter the chat and he didn't seem fazed by that. So
he's a Vancouver fan, I think. So there's not too much he's fazed by, I think. Nah, poor guy. poor guy. All right, Brennan. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Jordan Trudeau, the one, the only, getting ready for some Chuck-a-puck action. Trudes, my friend, how you doing?
Oh, I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. I had to pour a beverage, as everyone knows.
That.
Tradition on this show is I do have a beverage, a show. When we first launched the show, when it was Coffee with the Coach, if you know, you know. Before we switched to the Game Sports show at the time, I used to have a Shamrock Shake at McDonald's. We used to record live at McDonald's when they went live across the river in the United States, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. When they launched their all-day breakfast in Sault Ste. Michigan, I went. We started recording on location. We were doing some in January, but before we went live on location, where I got the Mr. Electric Avenue nickname, I always had a green Shamrock Shake. And they actually kept the ingredients for me even after, so I can have it each week. Fun fact from McDonald's in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. So it became a thing that I need to have a beverage. And as we trended towards recording at the Twisted Sister, and live in studio, I would end up evolving a milkshake to a adult beverage. Fun fact of the day for you. But let's talk Chuck-a-Puck. Trudes, missed you. We didn't have a show last week. We've had a very stale last couple of days here in Canada, to be honest with you. Feels very weird. And then, of course, we just talked about this with Brennan, the victory of the United States now being overshadowed by controversy, rightfully so, because it was disgusting to hear, of course, but I'm not surprised by who it came from. We might lose followers off some of these comments I made this week, but that's your choice. Ultimately, still recovery, but Brennan brought up a very good point that I think you can confirm. McDavid didn't win in junior, hasn't won the cup. He's won the Four Nations, a tournament that was put together by Gary Bettman, and now hasn't won gold, but he's won, obviously, on the international stage. We can't forget that. He's had success on the international stage with the World Juniors, but everybody did for about a decade in Canada. And we're sitting here talking about Major Junior, and there was people that were concerned about the future of Canadian goaltending. And there's some good goaltending right now in Canada, and one of them is just on the World Junior team. And plays for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds and is looking pretty solid because goalies develop in very unique ways. And if he keeps developing the way that he is, I don't think we have anything to worry about when it comes to goaltending in Canada. But Trudes, we got a lot to get to with Major Junior. So I want to give you the floor with the floor of Major Junior, OHL, and the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. And I'm going to go off you, buddy.
Yeah, sounds good. That goalie you mentioned, Carter George, I didn't even have him in my notes tonight. But like you said, yeah, I mean, he's had a really, really positive impact on this Greyhounds team, as we knew he would. You know, anybody who watches him, who comes to the games, watches him play net, like, you can see why the LA Kings drafted him, and you can see why he's been one of the best goalies in the league ever since he was 17. So, like, just his presence in the net, the way he plays the puck, his calmness, his steadiness, his position-wise, he's lights out, he's on the ball, you know, he's ultra-focused. I mean, he's a treat to watch, a pleasure to watch. And his mom is actually from Sault Ste. Marie. And he's actually the grandson of Tom Coulterman, the curling legend, obviously. So, like, ties to Brad Jacobs. Love that. Huge congrats to Brad and his team. Yeah. Really enjoyed watching them. They were kind of the second most sport that I watched. Obviously, hockey taking the precedence. But I obviously enjoy watching the sport of curling very, very much. Watched it, like, growing up in my house all the time. Like, that was awesome to see Brad get another gold. And what a great game that was, that gold medal. I mean, Great Britain was also curling very well until that unfortunate end that they had. But, I mean, props to Brad and Mark and the rest of the team, you know, just to capitalize on a couple little mistakes here and there. And that just goes to show you how good you have to be in that at that stage and at that moment to win. Yeah, moving over to the OA. Now that we got the congratulations in order, a little bit of around the league, the Barrie Colts, hottest team in the league, 10-game winning streak. They got going into their contest in Sarnia on Friday.
That's very good.
It's gone very, very good. They're climbing the ranks over in the Eastern Conference, 1 point away from Brantford. They have a new franchise all-time leader in points by a defenseman in Kayshon Aitchison, and the Greyhounds will meet up with them for their final meeting of the regular season on March 6th in Kitchener. As well as Kitchener, the Guelph Storm, the future Memorial Cup hosts in 2027, they're developing nicely as they're having a nice little recognition this week among the OHL. Tyler Hopkins got some points there. I think he had a 4-goal game. the Maple Leafs prospect, who was, which was a really, really good pick. I remember telling Connor Henderson about that pick because he's asking me, who is this Tyler Hopkins? And I know that I think the Greyhounds were really close in acquiring him last year. So I was pulling for that one, but obviously it didn't work out. And then they got a couple solid players in Quinn Beauchene, the OHL Cogical Player of the Week, and Zach Jovanovski, who some Greyhound fans just witnessed. I personally wasn't at the game on Saturday, but Jovanovski got a shout out here in Sault Ste. Marie. He shut the Greyhounds out on home ice, which doesn't happen very often. I think it's only happened about three times in the past however many years, seven or eight years. So, you know, props to them. And now the season's going to turn over to March and obviously the home stretch before the playoffs. Some huge weeks coming up determining where the chips are going to fall. So,
and I believe their last game of the season is the March 22nd against Windsor, if I know
correctly.
Yeah. I think that's their last game. And they got some big matchups coming there. Some good measuring stick games. So I talk about Brantford, good little road trip in there. And obviously getting right down to the end where you're playing, you know, Windsor. They got a tough schedule, the Hounds here. It's really going to be a test to be where if they're going to gain ground, where they're going to go when it comes to the standings overall. Where are they going to place? Are they going to be able to pass Windsor? Are they going to be able to? It can be a little bit challenging to catch up to Flint, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible to do, but certainly not going to be one easy task. And if you can have a goal to try to accomplish getting into second place in the West Division, I think that'd be huge. And if you can try to keep climbing the standings a little bit, get a nice little tear, I think that'd be good. Realistically, they're not going to go on a perfect run for this next, call it, month. But if they can win about 75%, I think the exact stat is 82% of their games was actually a number that I looked up, which I thought was quite high. They could pass Windsor. But when I look, and obviously a 79, 74 points, those are 5 points. Okay, that's just three wins, and the Hounds have a month to go here. So I thought that the 80% that I had researched was quite high, but obviously Windsor's not a bad team, and that can go on the same kind of stretch. Well, maybe it isn't. Stretch. You can let me know what you think below about the Sioux Greyhounds in particular, if they have a chance to get second or even first overall by catching up to Flint. But getting that home ice in a way that you can try to find it in that first round or any way that you can in the playoffs, I think that would be huge in any way, shape, or form. If you're not going to get first in conference, moving up as much as you can, because there could be upsets. You know, Flint could lose if they finish first, or you know, there could be upsets where you're getting some of that home ice. So you want to move up the standings as quickly as you can. And you got to get into that playoff mentality. You know, these games going forward aren't games for you to kind of rest and be, okay, I'm going to get ready for playoffs. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to take some time off. I know they battled some injuries this year and some challenges. Brady Martin is one of them. You know, you want to make sure your team gets healthy. But at the same time, you want to go into these rest of these games for the rest of the season. And you're focusing on playing these games like they're playoff hockey, setting the tone early, getting pucks in deep, battling hard, scoring the first goal, getting into the minds of the opponents, crashing the net. Just playoff mentality is what you need to focus on right now to get prepared for the dance. Because when you get into the dance this year, I feel like despite how everyone wants to look at Brantford being the team that they are, I got to say from the East, if you're a team from over in the West, don't be scared of teams over in the East. I think that the West is a challenging conference in its entirety, and I think it has arguably it's a stronger conference in terms of depth of players and the challenges per game. I know that might be a hot take for some.
You can make that argument. You can always kind of make that argument.
Yeah.
But like even the Greyhounds' perspective, like having the pretty much the top division in the league, right? The Firebirds and the Spitfires are in their division, so in order to get to second or first place, they have to jump both of those teams, which, you know, is going to be a hurdle in itself. And they left some points on the table these past few games that I think obviously was super disappointing to the coaching staff and the players, you know, to come in against teams that are lower than you in the standings and then to give up one and then even 2 points to Guelph. You know, it really hurts because, like you mentioned, you're only 5 points back of Windsor. And those are some key points that you could have turned into victories that were left on the table. I know it was a bit shocking, but, you know, they're battling right now. It's been a tough stretch. They've lost some points over the past couple games. They're not seem to be playing to their full potential. Had some close games not go their way. And, you know, so what is the reason for that? Is it the injuries? Obviously, missing Brady Martin and Chase Reed has taken its toll, and it's going to continue to take its toll until they return. And I think just some of the top guys are probably getting a little burnt out, a little fatigued. So, you know, just being able to rest, get healthy is probably pretty important and on their minds right now. Hopefully we see Brady and Chase back pretty soon, maybe even this weekend. That would be great. But you don't want to rush them back. But at the same time, like, we're getting into March, and it'd be nice to get them in some games and some reps, some meaningful reps and some game situations, because I think it'd be better than just kind of throwing them in there for the playoffs, especially a player like Martin, who didn't really play for the Hounds all season. Yeah. And then he went to Team Canada, and then he got hurt there. So he hasn't played since the new year, basically, since January.
For the Vegas Golden Knights, you need to get some games. Get to that mentality. Okay, you gotta play.
Yeah, so I mean, that's
huge. I wrote, like, before, I kind of looked at ways at what they can look up from the standings and go up. And key things that I put out was, one obvious is Carter George needs to be the X factor. He's fantastic. Okay. I think they got to tighten up on those extra point games. I was doing some research, and the Hounds have 5 shootout losses this year. Okay. And that's the most out of any top team in the Western Conference. Okay. Third one, I like the production that you see. Obviously, Chase Reed is. You don't need to go any further. Lucas Fisher has been a great compliment.
Outstanding.
Great compliment. I think
amazing addition to the blue line. You're right.
Overall, I think that has to continue. Just those two, keep doing what you're doing. You're going to set the tone for that back end. Special teams consistency was another point that kind of touches on that. Their power play percentage is hovering, from what I've researched, 19.4% as what we're recording today. It is solid, which is pretty solid, but it's behind leaders like Kitchener, I believe, which is in the mid-20s, almost 30s, I think, if I saw correctly. So they really successful. So you have such these guys that can score goals. Marco, Christopher Brown, you're missing
McKenzie,
right? But the power play needs, and the words that I used to myself, needs to become more lethal. And I think they need to try to play a bit more physical on the power play. But those are my 4 takeaways. So I had Carter George at the extra point game, capitalized, maintaining defensive production from the two studs back there, and special team consistency. Those are the 4 that I wanted to highlight just for Hounds fans and OHL fans to comment below on and chirp us on. But Truitt, what do you think?
I got 1-2 faceoffs. They, like, if you look back over their past recent games, I only looked at about 5 or 6, but they're not winning the faceoff battle. They're close, but they're varying between 40-48% on draws. So I know they're a really solid team 5-on-5, and you brought up special teams being like a different animal. Seems as though the power play struggles a little bit, you know, but at the same time, like, your first power play is basically out, right? Like, Reed and Martin are both, that's your first power play line right there. And then Mignosa, and then you just slot guys in from here and then out. So with those guys playing regular power play minutes, you never know what the power play would be like. But the 5-on-5 play for the Hounds is generally pretty strong, like, especially with George back there now. Like, you're looking at puck possession and defensive structure is a really big strength for this team. But being able to win those draws, win those key faceoffs, get control of the puck is a big part of the battle too. And I think we kind of saw Team Canada at the Olympics struggle with that at times when they were, you know, just in my buddy's group chat anyway, we noticed like loss of draw. And you look at Team Canada, such a skilled, the best team on earth. They were the best team at the tournament. They're the best team on earth. They lost the gold medal game, but there's no question.
Yeah.
But they struggled when you're looking at like a team like Finland, Czechia. Like, those teams really impressed me on, after winning the draw, keeping the puck away from Canada. So winning the draw is huge. You mentioned Marco. I had it in my notes. He was on a, like, he's been on a tear. 12 points in 3 games before the Guelph game. Tied for 3rd in the league in points. He's 4 back. So it'd be really cool to see him get that. Obviously, it's an individual accolade, but still really nice, really cool of him to get that league leader in points to win that award.
Yeah.
And he's also the new shorthanded goal leader in franchise history with 14. Yes, he passed Steve Gatsos and Boris Kachuk, who were tied at 13. And he scored a shorty on Friday against Sarnia. So he's the new, he etched his name in the record books there with the most shorthanded goals by one player in his career in Sioux Greyhounds history. So, like, huge congrats to him. He's kind of like a shark out there. like, you don't really notice him. He's like a type of player that, like, you could kind of forget about. And then that's a big problem because he'll, like, capitalize on your mistakes. Like, you don't notice him, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's there to capitalize and put the puck in the back of your net.
Yeah.
So, like, he's quiet, but, like,
I had to
hopefully look at he's peaking. Yeah.
I love this. I love that the stat. I love the stat of the shorthanded goals. I think that's all right now.
It's a really cool skill. It just gives the other team something to think about when they're on the power play, which is a nice little advantage for him. But you could see him just see the play. Like, the vision is outstanding for him on the PK. Like, even that goal on Friday, like, you could see him anticipate the puck being turned over, and the second he even thought of it being a chance, he sprung up the middle, and then all of a sudden up flips the puck, and then it's a 2-on-1, and then he snipes one glove sides. Like, yeah, huge congrats to him. He's had a strong second half of the season, and hopefully that continues into the playoffs, especially when Martin gets back to centering him.
You want Martin healthy, you want Reed healthy, you want all the boys healthy, but you want them playing some games before the puck drops in the playoffs. That's get a game or two, not even if they play a full 20 minutes in that game in terms of average top line minutes, get them at least 4 or 5 shifts a period just to get them some ice, some crash, hit some guys, get into the momentum, some power play time, get back into that feel, special team, some 5-on-5. You can really be strategic, especially when you clinch a playoff spot, and you'll know by then where you're kind of fall in the standings potentially, or maybe if it's a deciding important game where you get home ice, sometimes you got to be a little bit different. You got to take that approach different. But if you know where you're at, and given what the Hounds are in the standings, they would need Windsor to have some struggles and maybe Flint to really start diving up and gain that ground that they want, which again could happen. So you want to have that element the next month that you're focusing on winning games, but you got to use this time. By the time you get to that point of, all right, this is where we're going to be, this is where we're situated, all right, let's not injure some guys, but let's get them some, okay, they're healthy, doctor, they're ready to play, great, all right, let's get them some time on the ice to get back into that rhythm, so when they come on the ice for that first shift, they're not cold. Because of hockey, doesn't matter what level you're at, is a different animal.
Especially if you're playing London, like, that's not an easy team to play in the first round. So best case scenario, you know, you want to move up a little, like, you want to move up at least one slot to get the third place, second place even greater. Like, you can have home ice for as long as possible in the playoffs. It's an advantage, but I mean, it's doable. They have 4 games left, 2 like against the top teams, 2 against Windsor, 2 against Flint. So, you know, those are in fact 8-point game. Like, those are 4-point games, each one of those games, right? Because you're gaining 2 points and you're taking 2 points away from them. So key games coming up this Friday. The only action they have, well, actually, sorry, we're recording on Tuesday, so they play tomorrow night in Sudbury, Wednesday the 25th, and then they're at home Friday the 27th against Kingston. 2 bottom Eastern Conference teams. You need to come out with victories. You need to win these games. And maybe it's a little bit of a pressure situation. I don't think it's going into the game like the Guelph game and even the Sarnia game like on Family Day. I don't think they're going into the game taking this team lightly. I think maybe it's just now realizing that this is a game we have to win. And so then that can pressure you as well. Like, pressure gets to you, especially when the game stays closer to the end of the third period, right? As the game gets closer, I always find the lesser team, if they keep the game close, I find it's easier for them to overtake it and win it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a hockey thing, like, you know, because if you're going into it thinking that, okay, this team's, you know, they've got stuff on us, they've got NHL picks, they're better than us, or they're, you don't want to go into it thinking like that, but they're a bit of a heavier team than us. Yeah, they got some skill. If we can keep it close, maybe they'll break at the end. So, you know, the Hounds just have to stick to their structure, and yeah, they got to come out flying and win 2 games this week, get the confidence back, and then that'll prepare them for the tough march that they got going on. They got Windsor, they got Flint and Kitchener to start March. So that's going to be 2 huge games there, and they're on the road.
Matt,
hopefully Chase and Brady are back for those. That would be a really nice time for them to suit back up. So
massive game.
Exciting.
Massive games,
exciting times
overall with the Hounds, and when it comes to the the major junior scene. Playoffs are shaping up and very exciting times for sure. Connor, before we let you go, any final thoughts for Chuck-a-Puck?
I know I'm handsome, but like, I don't know. Connor might take offense to you calling me Connor.
Did I say Connor? Like, I said
you did. Yeah. So thank you for that.
I was
Connor.
Honest. Want to be honest with you? I just read a Connor McDavid post, so I am. So my mind,
your mind.
I read a Connor McDavid thing that I'm going to have to touch on maybe this week or next week. It might not even be worthy of me before I wrap up the show to talk about, because I have other things I wanted to do before we wrap. Well, up. So true.
Can I just say for the people that are saying Connor McDavid is a loser and this and that, and he can't win. And
that's what I just read. Somebody was saying, like, I know we talked about the can't win piece, but somebody absolutely heckling them online here, just saying Connor McDavid is a no show. Connor McDavid is why he seems to break down in big moments. He thinks he can take the team on his shoulders and choose his team more.
I'm choosing McDavid. Like, I want the puck on McDavid 97 stick as much as possible.
That's why I just, thanks for saying it, because that's what I just read. I won't talk about it, but like, I wanted just to say this guy had a record breaking 13 points, which is an Olympic record.
He's insane.
For the NHL era, peeps.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
an undeniable inclusion on any team that you create. Okay. And when maybe I'll have to, if I have time, because I'm going to do the 2030 prediction after Trudes gets off, I might do Canada's all time Olympic hockey line. And people are wondering if McDavid would be on that line. And it's hard. There are people that have McDavid in over Gretzky, which is wild. I'm sorry. I still think that's wild. But I mean, you have if you have to choose three forwards, you can't go wrong with whoever the heck you choose out of the options. Okay. Maybe you're not choosing them over Gretzky. Okay. All right. But McDavid, let me tell you, in 2030 Olympics he's not going to be able to staple himself as better at Crosby at Olympics, maybe, because Crosby has multiple gold. Okay, so enough with the McDavid hate. Okay, like, can you say maybe he can't win? Yeah, he hasn't won the big game except for nation. I get it. All right, but the comments here.
Well, Ovechkin didn't win until,
like, come on, this guy
didn't win for a long time, and he passed Gretzky in points. Like, it just
him on his shoulders and thinks he can carry the team. But you know what? He can. Number one. Number two, I'm sure he doesn't think that way. Okay, I'm sure when he was on the ice. Man. Time he was looking for McKinnon, he was looking for the lads, okay, because he had the lads. It's not like he was looking down the left side. He had Andrew Mangiapane coming down the freaking right left side. No offense to Mangiapane, he's still an NHL player, okay, but a little bit different if you got the Nate Dogg or Andrew Mangiapane, okay,
Celebrini,
sorry, right? That was his main.
That kid he is outstanding.
Connor Bedard is
outstanding.
So fired up for the 2030 Olympics. Well, watching what Celebrini just did, I'm telling you, watch for number 98 next. Who is the leading scorer of all time at the World Juniors?
Isn't it Bedard for Canada or for the whole?
I think
everybody.
Whole tournament. I'm not 100% sure. I think it is, but Canada, yes,
it's Bedard, right? And he did it as a 17-year-old. Like he was an underager for that tournament. Yeah, I know.
And I'm putting him in the
lineup. Move.
Seth Jarvis. Okay, I'm putting him in the lineup before. Okay, we can go down this path. But any final thoughts? I know I called.
No. I did it too. It's so, okay.
Jordan Trudeau. True.
Yes, that's
final
me.
Chuck-a-Puck.
Yeah, like, let's see a Greyhound lineup with Carter George, Brady Martin, and Chase Reed all in the lineup at one time. It's like, come on, let's do it. I'm ready for it. I've been waiting since January. I think we've all been waiting since January. We want to see this. I honestly, if this team can get healthy and they can come together in a short period of time, I do think that there's something here. And I wouldn't count them out. They battled. They're continuing to battle. And I just think that they just need something to go right for them at some point. I haven't seen a team so injury prone in my life. Like, so they've had a lot of adversity to get through. They've had a lot of guys step up, but when you look at how much, you get Brady Martin back, you get Jeremy Martin back, you get Chase Reed back, how deep this roster gets quick is a big deal. And you want to see them do well. You want to see them have success. And I like them. I think this is a fantastic hockey team. And I think that they can do some damage. They just have to put the pieces together. So hopefully they get healthy and hopefully that happens.
I for Hounds fans that are waiting for it, and the OHL fans should be waiting for it too, because it's better when you have all the players play it. It makes for a competitive game, and that's what we had some luxury to, especially from the Olympics this past few weeks. So, Trudes, this has been Chuck a Puck. This is another edition of Chuck a Puck. I want to say thank you, my friend, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week. Sounds good.
Have a good one, my friend.
You too.
All right, Jordan Trudeau, and I already mistaken him for Connor today because these comments, I got to stay off the internet sometimes. Some comments that people make are just absolutely unbelievable. As I sit here and I want to promote the Game Sports Podcast TikTok channel, which you can follow at the Game Sports Podcast TikTok and Instagram. So I wanted to take these last few minutes to kind of do an outro myself, to have a little bit of a prediction floor to myself, to be honest with you, given the contents of the show with Brandon and Trudes and the agenda that we have, that you can already see that we're hitting our hour, of course. So I'm not going to dive into too much here, and I won't be talking about any baseball or any other sports news. It is purely hockey today in its entirety. So what I wanted to spend these last few minutes doing is kind of giving you a treat, kind of an interaction wrap up, let's call it. And in light of the Olympics completing, I want to give a very much a hot take. Friend of the show, friend of mine, Brad Jacobs, winning his second gold medal and one of the only to do it as a back-to-back winner, skipping of two different teams and winning as a skip for Canada for 2 years, two appearances at the Olympics. Absolutely unbelievable. Okay. So he is someone that when you think of the Winter Olympics, when it comes to Canada and when it comes to curling, he has stapled himself to being the legend on the Canadian curling front, along with some other names as well. But you now can put Brad Jacobs up there, and his team was great to watch. It was exciting. And it's certainly going to be a party here in Sault Ste. Marie when it's all said and done. And I'm going to put on that medal for you, viewers and listeners. I'm going to upload a picture of it. And, you know, I'm going to pretend that I won it, because that he won that out of hard work. There was somebody that was one of the most sought after free agents in curling. And it was absolutely wild to not see him on a team. Then he gets his team and a different team that he won in 2014, but a team that was just so successful and driven to win. And I knew from when he won the Brier that this was somebody that was just on a different level again. Okay. And to give you a little funny story, at my wedding, he did that serious curling face on the dance floor. Okay. Just want to make sure I give you a little bit of fun story there. But I didn't want to use this in terms of just shouting out Brad Jacobs, which of course, well deserved. Just overall, the Olympics was very much enjoyable to watch when I was able to watch it after work or just on highlights, but I want to devote these last couple minutes to something with Canadian hockey. Obviously, with Canadian hockey, there was a loss in terms of the gold medal game. It's sad. I'm still heartbroken about it. I obviously just very much heartbroken about when the Blue Jays lost the World Series and spring training has just started, and I'm still not over it. It's something that you will always remember, okay? And it's unfortunate what's been happening post of that, and we've already talked about this on the show, but I think we should talk about a little something positive when it comes to Canadian hockey. All right. And shout out to the girls team who battled and made that last game. Was great, great hockey to watch. Tough goal at the end there. It was very nice goal to get the win for the United States girls team. But I wanted to do a Canada Olympic hockey lineup, and I wanted to do it from a perspective of predicting the 2030 men's Olympic team. And I wanted to look at spinning off into an all-time Canadian men's and also a women's lineup. So predicting the 2030 men's team and then getting into a legacy lineup for Canada per se. So I'm going to give you that as a treat. So I wanted to touch on the lineup first. We're going to talk about the 2030 Olympics nice and early. And I am going to have some honorable mentions on there for you to enjoy as well. And it's going to be a little bit of a different team, but there is going to be some returning players. Okay. You have a lot of options when it comes to the 2030 team from up front, you always go with Canada, and the back end is going to be a little bit different. But I want to give you from the forwards to the defensemen to the goaltending, then some honorable mentions, of course. And it's just going to be the players that I am going to be predicting. I won't be predicting the coaching staff or the management by any means, but I will say one thing. I think Joel Thornton is going to be a part of that management team. And of course, Kyle Dubas will be back in there. But I'm going to give you the forwards, the defense, and the goaltending in honorable mentions. Then I'm going to get into the lineups that I had for the women's and the men's from a legacy perspective. So starting with the 2030 men's Olympic hockey team prediction, early advance, starting with the forwards, I got Braden Point, Connor McDavid, Mitch Marner, Macklin Celebrini, Nathan MacKinnon, Connor Bedard, Brandon Hagel, Nick Suzuki, Seth Jarvis, Adam Fantilli, Robert Thomas, Wyatt Johnson, Gavin McKenna, and the wicked wrister, Dylan Gunther. On defense, Thomas Harley, Cale Makar, Matthew Schaefer, Owen Power, Josh Morrissey, Evan Bouchard, Jake Chychrun, and Shea Theodore. In net, I have Mackenzie Blackwood, Logan Thompson, and hot take, Jet Greaves. From an honorable mentions perspective, Quinton Byfield, Mason McTavish, Noah Dobson, and Bowen Byram. Those are four players that I'm going to have as an honorable mention for the 2030 team. But that is my prediction, the way too early 20 Olympic hockey team roster. Now, from a legacy lineup prediction, look, this is a very much, you can go in any way, shape here. And to be honest with you, from a forward perspective, this is the men's all-time Olympic starting six. Sidney Crosby, Mario Lemieux, and Wayne Gretzky. On defense, I got Scott Niedermayer and Chris Pronger. In net, I got Martin Brodeur. I'm going to tell you something, that it was very hard to not put Connor McDavid in place of Wayne Gretzky on this. And I know that is a hot take. Almost challenging to put Connor McDavid there instead of Mario Lemieux, either one, because Crosby has the golden goal and is the obvious multiple goal-time winner in the Olympics. I'm talking about the Olympics success, not player success. Connor McDavid, despite not winning gold, has had 13 points, which is an Olympic record. Yeah, I had Crosby, Lemieux, and Gretzky from an all-time legacy Canadian Olympic lineup for the men's team. But honestly, you could put Connor McDavid there in place of Gretzky and or Lemieux. Very hot take for you. Last hot take for that, you can arguably put Carey Price in front of Martin Brodeur. There's no right or wrong when it comes to that. For the women's team, I got Marie-Philippe Poulin, Haley Wickenheiser, Jaina Hefford. Those are the forwards. Geraldine Henny on defense with Jocelyn Larocque on defense, and Annette Kim St. Pierre being the all-time women's. So that's the men's, and then that is the women's all-time Olympic legacy legend lineup that I would be choosing to put on the ice. Let me know what you think below. There's no right or wrong. You can chirp as much as you want, but when it comes to Canada, there's so many options, and that's what makes me proud to be a Canadian. So many strong athletes. And when it comes to world of hockey, so many options. From a men's side, you can look at Joe Sakic. You can look at, as I mentioned on defense, you can even still pick Cale Makar being literally the modern prototype defenseman of the modern era, despite the success from this Olympics. There's so much that you can station when it comes from Olympic hockey or even from a full Canadian perspective. But if I'm putting six guys on the ice, Crosby, Lemieux, and Gretzky, it's pretty great. Take out McDavid for any of those, for Lemieux or Gretzky. Can't go wrong either. Joe Sakic, can't go wrong either. Lots of options. Let me know what you think below for the men's and women's all-time starting six when it comes to the Canadian hockey and then even including the Olympic era. Now, this has been the Game Sports Podcast, absolutely hockey dominant edition, and it's been our first episode in the last couple of weeks. Our previous edition that you can check out that is still very relevant to check out, Andrew Palaya stopped by the show to talk about the recent NOJHL incident from the ref's perspective, where he was verbally and not just verbally harassed, he was threatened from a fan. And ultimately, there's an investigation going on. in the NOHA ranks. And there's no news for me to share forward from that. I've been keeping close tabs on that, but nothing to share at this time. But you can check out that edition to speak your thoughts in the comment section and also hear Andrew Pelaya's breaking of silence in our most recent edition. Also, make sure you check out all social media channels, TikTok, Instagram, at The Game Sports Podcast, Facebook, as well as 91 Network. You can also check out Spaces, where The Game Sports Podcast is featured on the sports and the hockey section of Sault Ste. Marie Spaces. I want to say thank you to Brendan McCarthy. I want to say thank you to Jordan Trudeau. And I want to say thank you to Jerry, he also likes to be called Bryce Rowlandson, for doing the editing in the background for here on The Game Sports Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this edition. If you loved it, like, follow, and subscribe. And make sure you interact. Make sure that you're following, especially from the Sault Ste. Marie area. Support local, as we like to say around here. But if you are ever questioning if you should comment, do it. We will respond. We will touch base. We have a big family here on The Game that want to like and interact with your comments. It does not go to I guess you can say deaf ears or blind eyes if you're looking on your phone. So make sure that you are interacting with us, and you might get it featured on here. And keep an eye on some great future editions coming up, as we are going to get back to the special edition shows. As I previously mentioned, when we had Ryan Sproul on, which is another recent special edition and show that you can check out on any audio platform, on also 91N as well. Well, we will be back next week. And until next week, I'm here to remind you to keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.